Many states, many cities, many counties around the country have had to make some serious cuts in their budgets in order to cover holes. Programs like welfare, elderly care have taken a hit. Early education, state employees have been laid off or they've seen their salaries and benefits cut. This week in Topeka, Kansas, an even more difficult decision, the city council there voted to decriminalize domestic violence. That became as part of a budget standoff between the city of Topeka and Shawnee County. The county cut the district attorney's budget, so the DA stopped prosecuting misdemeanor domestic violence cases. And then in the past month alone, 18 people who've been arrested in domestic violence cases were then released without charges. Late yesterday afternoon, seemingly under national pressure when this story hit the press, the district attorney announced yesterday they will resume prosecutions. Joining us now, though, is Topeka City Council member Karen Hiller. She voted to repeal domestic violence law, and also Thomas Segrew, history professor at the University of Pennsylvania, author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis. Nice to talk to you, Thomas, and good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
All right. So, Karen, let's begin with you. I mean, obviously, it's good news that the DA has decided to resume prosecutions. But this is a tough thing. 18 people, as I said, walked away without charges when they'd been arrested for domestic abuse.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Explain your vote. Well, you voted to decriminalize domestic violence, making it no longer a criminal act as far as the city of Topeka was concerned. How does that help you address a budget deficit?
Understand that we did not decriminalize domestic violence. That is a state law. It applies no matter what. We all, to the person, are solidly supportive of dealing with domestic violence and having it addressed and prosecuted in a timely manner. What the only thing that we did was, and it was very technical, really, was to take that particular it's sort of a connection with the state law off our books to formally opt out of prosecuting it. And we never have. The county has always, our function has been the police function, which we've supported, which, of course, is huge. And then also we contribute as a partner to the Battered Women's Shelter and to community-based advocacy and support services. And we've always done that. We continue that this year, and we put it in our budget for 2012. What happened was that at the county level, the county commission cut the district attorney, who then simply one day stood up and announced that he was going to stop prosecuting. Not only stop, but that day. We looked at that and said, what?
Well, you didn't want the cost to be passed on to the city, which has its own problems. The issue here, Karen, and I can understand how difficult of a vote this must have been. I wanted to play you this comment from Claudine Dombrowski. She was at the city council meeting Tuesday when the vote was held. She is a domestic violence victim. And she says that what happens when there's these back and forths between city council, city, county, state, and federal agencies, that it's the victims that end up getting hurt. Take a listen.
You know, everybody likes to do that senior report and thing, and in the interim, these victims are the ones that are not getting the services that they need. We're victims, we're survivors, we're advocates, we're all telling you that this isn't the correct way to go, this isn't how you protect us, and then they just totally ignored us, and they said, well, we're protecting you by repealing it.
I mean, we're speaking with Karen Hiller, who's a member of the city council in Topeka, Kansas. In all of this, Karen, don't you think that there's a danger in all of these places around the country where they're making these decisions that people are going to fall through the cracks?
Absolutely. What we looked at is what is the best place for those services to happen for domestic violence victims. We wanted the best possible services for them. At the city, we don't have the prosecution staff. Obviously, with any amount of money, you could do that. But we only have one courtroom. It doesn't have the right security for domestic violence cases. We don't have the consultation rooms. We don't have a jail. We don't have the extra security that you need to handle that. We don't have the array of court services. We would have been starting almost from scratch to build something. It would take 2 to 3 years to get it up to speed. The district attorney would have retained misdemeanor level domestic violence prosecution for non-city residents and still will retain all felony prosecution. So we would have fractured forever services to those very vulnerable victims and their families. And so looking short-term, certainly, as well as long-term, basically what the council did was take the risk of outrage and misunderstanding of the purpose to get those services back where they belonged.
Right. Well, Karen, you've certainly landed in a thicket of outrage, that's for sure. She's a council person in Topeka, Kansas. Thomas Segrue, professor of history at University of Pennsylvania, you wrote the book, The Origins of the Urban Crisis. We're certainly hearing it there in the voice of Karen Hiller. I'm just wondering how these kinds of service cuts can be implemented, because in the city council here in New York yesterday, they were talking about how laying off of teachers gains you one bit of savings, but then when they apply for unemployment, you lose the money again. There's a real zero-sum game working in some of these service cuts.
Yes, there is. And municipalities are really struggling, and school boards are really struggling with the combined impact of federal cuts and state cuts, and they're looking for ways to shift costs. And I think the councilwoman's story in Topeka is very much one of her city trying to figure out how it's going to make ends meet in this increasingly constrained fiscal environment. And they're going to be assuming that this kind of cost shifting and cost cutting continues at the pace it is, there are going to be victims, whether it be school teachers or school kids or domestic violence sufferers. It's a serious problem, and it's one that is really part of the macro economy.
Although, if the actions of Karen and her fellow city council members was to force the DA to begin prosecuting again, it seems to have worked since they made that announcement yesterday. But Thomas Segrue, I got to ask you, this is not just reserved to, obviously, to Kansas. It's not just reserved to the DA's offices. I mean, we had a story about the city of Alto in Texas that laid off their entire police force this summer. The council member said that the police department was a non-money-making entity. Then the San Carlos, California, they laid off their entire police force. I mean, cities around the country are having to make some pretty tough choices, whether or not to bring in a casino to raise revenues.
Right. And, I mean, I could keep going through the list. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania just declared bankruptcy yesterday.
The sixth city in the country.
Filed for bankruptcy. In Camden, New Jersey, which is one of the most crime-ridden cities in the country, dramatically reduced the size of its police force and is involved in negotiations with the county and the state to try to pick up the slack elsewhere, because as cities face a crunch in tax revenue, property taxes are down, sales taxes are down. If they rely on a local income tax, that's going down. There aren't as many sources available to meet really critical needs. My city in Philadelphia proposed cutting back library hours, and until a bunch of corporate benefactors stepped in, the city was planning on cutting hours at city recreation centers in the summer so that there wouldn't be pools in neighborhoods where there's not a lot of green. It's a real serious problem for municipalities to try to continue to deliver services in this climate.
Thomas Segrue, professor of history at University of Pennsylvania, author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis, and a councilperson from Topeka, Kansas, Karen Hiller. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the dilemma of service cuts and trying to save money in a time of fiscal crisis is something that's going on around the country. Tell us what you're seeing in your community. Earlier this hour, we heard the story of leukemia patient Amit Gupta. His friend is offering $10,000 to a matching tissue donor. It's not technically legal, but should it be?
If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, why are you guys not calling it organ selling? If you buy a donation, you're selling. Selling organs is illegal, as far as I know.
We want your views. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Listen back to the story and weigh in, or go to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.